Amen. What a great truth that is. We lean hard on that in times of trouble. May we never fail to take advantage and lean hard on that in times that are good too. Amen. We can cast our every care on Him, for He careth for you. All right, take your Bible and turn over to the book of Nehemiah again. And we are going to finish up this this example in Nehemiah tonight. We've been here the last couple of weeks, and of course we're doing a Christian character series and using characters of the Bible as examples for saints of God today. And we've been looking at Nehemiah as an example of leadership and even an example of service to the Lord and discipleship and following Christ and just sort of all of those together. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the marks of leadership, and we discovered that Nehemiah was a man who was a man who was focused. He was focused on the task that God had given to him. He was a compassionate person, caring for the needs of others. He was a man of prayer who was constantly going to the Lord, seeking a guidance and leadership from the Lord and wisdom from God. He was a man who was available. He said he basically had the heart attitude of, "Here am I, send me." He was a man who had a heart that was touched by God. He'd been given a task to do. And we also learned that God expects His people to serve Him in their task. Whatever God has given us to do, God expects us to serve Him even when it's not easy. When the way is hard and it's not easy, God expects us to trust Him, to lean on Him, and to serve Him. And last week we looked at what we called the menace to leadership, and we saw how opposition is sometimes a hindrance to serving the Lord in the task that He's given us to do. And we looked at how Nehemiah faced a lot of opposition in the building of the wall in Jerusalem, and Sanballat and Tobiah and all of these others who didn't want the work of God to move forward. We're in opposition to the will of God and to the work of God. And we looked at how opposition can come in all different forms. It might be persecution. You might be a saint of God who's trying to be a witness for Christ, and you are trying to live a good testimony, maybe on your job, and you might be persecuted by those, and you might be mocked and ridiculed by others simply for standing for Christ and having a good testimony. You might be discouraged, possibly, because of that opposition. Opposition comes in different forms. Maybe it comes in the form of criticism. Maybe a man's trying to lead. He's trying to sprout and grow in his faith and in his relationship with the Lord. And because of the past, there might be those who would be critics, who would criticize, and it could be discouraging. Maybe it's difficulties along the way. All of those things are exactly what Nehemiah experienced in the building of the wall. And that difficulty in doing what God has called had given him to do, that opposition and that difficulty was great, and the critics were many, but he didn't have a mind to sit around and mope. He didn't have a mind to sit around and be discouraged over the difficulties, or to spend time finding fault or whatever. What he did was he trusted in God, and then he kept putting his hand to the work. That's what he did. And Nehemiah was a good example of Christian character in this aspect. When we trust in God, that opposition that we face can actually make us stronger and more dependent on the Lord for victory in our life. And the opposition might not be something that we would just readily want to come into our life, but it's not necessarily something that is to be avoided either, if it's meant by God to send us to the Lord and cause us to lean harder on the Lord. And so Nehemiah is a good example in that aspect. And so we've looked at the marks of leadership. We looked at the menace. And tonight, we're going to consider this last aspect, the measure of leadership. The measure of leadership. Nehemiah, as we've been looking through And we've not read the whole book, but we've been hitting various parts. We spent much of our time in chapter 2, and we're going to do that again tonight. But Nehemiah led this people to rebuild the wall. So here he was in captivity. He heard again of the ruin and the waste of Jerusalem, and they were a laughingstock and a reproach, and his heart was burdened by God to go back to Jerusalem to his people and to rebuild that wall. And so he goes back and he leads these people in rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And the question is, why did these people even follow him? Why did they follow his leadership, especially through such adversity and opposition? They faced it on every hand. They faced threatening. They faced even potential death and all of these difficulties. Why did they continue to follow Nehemiah and his leadership through all of that? We're talking about Nehemiah as an example of leadership. And you know, in the final analysis of things, a leader is only a leader if there are people to follow. But they did. And why is the question. Well, we learned some things about leadership and why the people followed from Nehemiah's own life and his own character. And I want to just draw a few things out tonight in the short time that we have and make some applications here for us as well, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd encourage our hearts tonight. Father, strengthen our church, strengthen our men, especially in this area of leadership. And Father, encourage and strengthen us all in the area of service to Christ and discipleship. And Father, we pray that you would grow us. Father, that we'd be more useful, profitable servants of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. First of all, the measure of leadership. Why did the people follow? Well, the people will follow a man who, number one, is in touch with God himself. People will follow a man who is in touch with God himself. And we find in chapter 2, again in verse 18, where Nehemiah says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." So here, in the context, Nehemiah went out at night and he viewed the city, how it was in rubble and ruined, and the gates were burned with fire and so on. And verse 16 said, "The rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews or the priests," and so on. And verse 17 says, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." Nehemiah was a man who was in touch with God himself. And let me say this here tonight. When it comes to leadership and when it comes to success in leadership, wherever that is, success comes through, really comes through what people don't see. Nehemiah had victory, but his victory was not out on a battlefield per se. His victory was in a closet. And how many times have we pointed out already that Nehemiah was quick to pray? Nehemiah was quick to seek the Lord and seek God's guidance, and how God's hand was upon him and in his life. That doesn't come about by osmosis. It doesn't come about simply because, you know, Nehemiah was just, he had all the charisma you could ever need in a leader. No, it came about because Nehemiah was quick to be on his knees before God and be in touch with God himself. This is a reason why people will follow. In spite of opposition, in spite of difficulty, when they can see that the leader is a man who's in touch with God himself. That same principle applies in churches. In Hebrews chapter 13, look over there with me. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. The writer of Hebrews, writing to these saints of God, he says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, and that word faith means doctrine, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So here the instruction is follow after the man of God, considering the end of his lifestyle or his manner of living. This word faith means doctrine. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul says to the church at Corinth, you follow me as what? As I follow Christ. People will follow if they know that a man is in touch with God himself. And Paul could confidently say, listen, you follow after me. Why? Because I know that I'm following after Christ, who's leading the way. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, turn over there with me, please. 1 Timothy 4, Paul writes to Timothy, giving instruction to him, telling him of his responsibility, what he should be doing, what kind of a person he ought to be. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So what's the instruction? You need to be an example so that others can follow you. And here's all of the areas that you need to be an example in. And he says in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Wow, what a powerful passage this is when it comes to leadership and where real victory is found and real success is found. Paul says to Timothy, you be an example to the believers in word and conduct in all of these areas of life. You are an example that they should follow. And then he says, listen, don't forget, you need to give attendance to reading and to doctrine and to the Word of God, and you need to meditate on these things, and you need to grow yourself that you profit, and in doing that, you're going to save yourself and those that hear thee, those that would follow. So in Timothy's case here, what do we find? The Word of God in his own life was paramount to success and to the success of those that he was responsible for. What are we saying? Victory is not on a battlefield. It's in a closet. Getting in touch with God yourself. That's the key. That same principle not only applies in churches, but it applies in families, men. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's a responsibility on the part of fathers to bring our families and our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We know that a man has been given the responsibility and the role of leadership in his family to be the spiritual leader of his home. But listen, where does the success for that come from? In all of our skills that we've been able to develop? Listen, the success comes from, first of all, being in touch with God ourselves. Having victory in a closet and on our knees before God and begging God, depending on God for the enabling to be what we need to be so that we can be the right kind of leader that our families can follow. Dad, you can't have success with your wife and your children if the word and prayer are not a vital part of your day and of your life. You can't have success without that. Victories in your life and victories in your family, listen, they're won in the closet. They're won by seeking after God, and they're won by being in the word yourself and diligently applying and obeying its principles in your life. You got to be diligent about that. It can't be a on again, off again. It can't be a here some and maybe there some and then drifting away and back and forth. We got to be focused on the task, and it requires diligence in your own life in a prayer closet before God. People will follow when they see the man of God in touch with God himself. Your children will follow, and your wife will follow if they see their dad and their husband, her husband, doing battle, gaining victory in his own life before the Lord, being in touch with God himself. There's a whole lot more trust that is developed in the heart of a woman towards her husband when she knows that he is on his face before God. That's a weighty responsibility, man. Here's the key. Paramount to success. And how often have I seen families struggle and wives discouraged, trying to grow, trying to be godly, but she's got a husband who doesn't really care or who's not spiritual himself. And listen, man, listen, you are directly responsible for your wife's spiritual growth. She cannot be all that she is made to be without her head, without her husband leading her and guiding her. You need to be a man who's in touch with God himself. Amen? Diligently applying and obeying the principles of God's word in her own life. And We use Timothy. We saw what Paul told Timothy that he was to be, but we know that Timothy was a success. He was a good preacher, great ministry for God. But you know, Timothy's success is credited in part to his mother and to his grandmother. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We know what Timothy ultimately became. But his success is credited in part to his parent or to his mother and to his grandmother in 2 Timothy 1 in verse 5. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." So he says, this is genuine faith. It's not fake. And I saw it first in your grandmother, and then it was in your mother, and now it's in you. And go over with me to chapter 3 and verse 15. Look, we get a little insight into Timothy's home and how he grew up. Verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." From a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. Who taught it to him? A godly mother, a godly grandmother. His success later on is in part because of the faithfulness of his mother. And what am I saying? Let's apply this back to the leadership, spiritual leadership in the home. It's to be to a father, to a husband. Timothy didn't have a spiritually minded father, apparently. We never really read how he was a part of Timothy's life. And God intervened and so on, but there was a faithful mother who was teaching him the scriptures, who did her best to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and he went on to be a success in the service of God. Listen, dads, that's our responsibility, isn't it? To bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can't do that if we are not first winning battles in our own life and in touch with God ourselves. People will follow when they see a man who's in touch with God himself. And in order to lead your family in the right direction, this is a must for you. So Nehemiah is a good example of leadership in this regard. Secondly, why did the people follow? Not only because he was a man who was in touch with God himself, but he was a man who led by example. Why did the people follow? Because he led by example. Chapter 2 again, verse 17. Go back there, Nehemiah chapter 2. In verse 17, Nehemiah said here, "Then said I unto them," I'll let you get there. Nehemiah 2:17, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he spoke, that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." You notice all the we's and the us in there? Nehemiah wasn't sitting in some, you know, fancy place of leadership and barking out orders and never getting his hands dirty himself. Are you with me here? He said, let us and we. He was a man who led by example. Look over in chapter 5. And we'll not read the whole context here, and I'll just give you a little bit of it. But we're going to look at verses 14 to 16 here. Chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king," that is, 12 years, "I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work." Here in the context, the people that were complaining about how they had mortgaged their homes and they had done all of this, and the nobles were exacting usury from the people, basically taxing and so on, because of their position and requiring this, and it was becoming a heavy, heavy burden on the people. And Nehemiah, as the governor, had every right to, you know, to exact that usury, but he didn't do it because he didn't want to be a burden on the people. And he says, for all of this time, I didn't do this. Why? Because of the fear of God. I feared the Lord, and he didn't want to be a burden on the people. And then after that, he says, I continued in the building of this wall. He wasn't sitting in some position, you know, telling everybody else what to do, but not doing it himself. He was a man who led by example. He didn't ask anyone to do what he wouldn't first do himself. Nehemiah was willing to pay the price of leadership. People will follow when they see a person leading by example. You know, it comes across as very hypocritical for a pastor to preach on the Great Commission and missions and not be a soul winner himself. Hebrews 13 and verse 7, we read it, "Remember them that have the rule over you." And then it said, "Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." That word conversation means manner of living. Why follow? Considering the end of their manner of living, their manner of life. It comes across as very hypocritical. People aren't going to do what they don't see you doing first. But you know what? The same principle is true when it comes to families. It comes across as very hypocritical to children to hear dad say, "You know what? You need to serve God with your life." But they never see him praying, reading his Bible, serving down at the church when there's opportunity to serve. Because dad's too busy with work. Comes across as very hypocritical to children We say God is number one. God needs to be the most important thing in our life. But so often, family's missing out or dad's missing out at church because too many other things going on. Comes across as real hypocritical. You're not going to follow. How many times have I seen this over the years where children are brought up in a church setting and as children, you know, they're part of the programs and they're part of the church and so on, and they hear what the preacher preaches and they see what other people do and they hear about how God is to be number one in your life and they hear all of these things, but they see a completely different thing at home. And the children grow, and pretty soon they start thinking for themselves. They're able to start putting two and two together. They're able to make the distinction, and you know what? They come to the conclusion, hey, why would I want any of that? Dad's just a big hypocrite. And they go, as soon as they can, they're gone, out in the world. It's a sad and a tragic thing, my friend. But it happens when there's not consistency in the leadership in that home. It happens when there's hypocrisy in the home all too often. May the Lord spare us and save us from that. Amen. We need to be leading by example. We need to be the ones who are leading the charge when it comes to serving down at the church. We need to be the ones who are leading the charge when it comes to teaching on the principles of God and teaching our children how to love God with all of their heart. And they'll follow if they see it real in Dad first. They'll say in time, listen, you know what? My dad loves God with all of his heart. I want to know this God too. And I want to serve him with all my heart. Proverbs 22:6 is a promise, I believe. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. The linchpin is training them up in the way that they should go. Can't do that if, number one, we're not in touch with God ourselves. And number two, we're not leading by example. You with me here? Why do these people follow Nehemiah even through all of that opposition? Because he was in touch with God. He led by example. Then thirdly, he counted the cost. He was a man who counted the cost. Nehemiah, he didn't go about with every turn and with every problem. He didn't go about forming a committee. And you guys take care of this and then sit, you know, in indecision, not being able to make up his mind. Rather, Nehemiah sought God's will, and when he knew the will of God, then he moved forward. I believe that God honors careful and prayerful planning. Some people mislabel, you know, patience and waiting on the Lord as indecision. When that's not really what it is, if you're carefully and prayerfully praying and planning, that sometimes takes time to find the will of God. And sometimes it takes patience. James chapter 1, turn over there with me, please. James 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Here we find that if a man is lacking in wisdom, doesn't necessarily know what to do, He needs to ask of God, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. And I believe here that God honors careful and prayerful planning. I don't know what to do. I don't know necessarily what direction to go. I don't know what the next step is. I'm going to seek after the Lord. That's being a good steward. And sometimes finding that answer and knowing the direction to go takes some time. And sometimes it takes some patience. And we need to learn to wait on God. But when the Lord does speak, we need to be ready to move. Nehemiah was one who counted the cost. He didn't just aimlessly shoot. He sought the Lord. He planned. And when the Lord spoke, he moved. People will follow when they see that kind of character. A wife will build and grow in her trust of her husband's leadership when she sees that her husband is careful to plan. He's careful to pray. He's careful to seek after the will of God. And then when he knows the mind of the Lord, then he moves. Fourthly and lastly, Nehemiah was a man who was consistent. Why was it that the people followed? Well, we learn through Nehemiah's own life and character here what it takes to be the measure of leadership, be in touch with God himself. He was a man who led by example. He counted the cost, but then he was also consistent. In chapter 5, go back there, we read verses 14 through 16. In verse 14, chapter 5 and verse 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. Verse 16, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Why is that significant? Well, because just prior to this, in the verses before this, Nehemiah was basically, you know, chiding, scolding the nobles who were taking and exacting usury from the people. And he said it wasn't a good thing. If you go back to verse 7, then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them, and I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen or our enemies? So here's the position that he took. You see the position he took here? Well then, right after that, he wanted them to restore all that they had taken. And then in verse 12, then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. And then he said, verse 12, then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Now here he's even taken more of a stand. And he's taken more of a hard-line position here on all of these things. And then later on, we move on down and we find out that Nehemiah himself was consistent with all that he had talked to other people about. And for 12 years, the Bible says there, and he didn't buy land, he didn't do anything, and he continued in the work of God. All I'm saying is, this is a demonstration of his character and his consistency in his life. This is important when it comes to leadership. Nehemiah was consistently godly. He was consistent in his work. He continued in the building of that wall. He was consistent in pursuing after God. He was consistent in always pursuing what God had given him to do. He wasn't easily distracted. He wasn't unstable. And he wasn't wishy-washy. Remember how James 1 verse 6 said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Nehemiah was consistent. He wasn't double-minded. All I'm saying is that our families and our churches need to see stability and consistency in their leaders. Not up and down and back and forth and driven with every wind of doctrine or driven by their feelings, but to be consistent. That's the measure of real leadership. And when people see that, when her family sees that, listen, they're going to say, I want to follow that because it's real in Dad. And I want that for myself. See, these were reasons why the people followed Nehemiah in that great task, a hard task, fraught with opposition. And yet they still followed him. And they were inspired themselves. And they had a mind to work, the Bible says, themselves, because of his leadership. We also have a great task before us as a New Testament church in the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have this great task before us in life, being husbands and fathers, being mothers and wives, being brothers and sisters in the Lord. Nehemiah is a good example of Christian character in many, many ways, but he was successful in his leadership. Why? Because he depended on the Lord, and he was consistent in serving even when it was hard. Let us be successful in our task, amen? Be in touch with God Himself. Lead by example. Be consistent in your life, in your task. Count the cost. Get direction from the Lord. And trust and depend on the Lord. And even when it's hard, we can faithfully serve Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this example. Lord, develop our character as men, as leaders, for our wives and our children, in our church. Father, I pray that we'd be inspiring to others to follow, inspiring to others to be better leaders. Lord, we all need our character developed. As saints of God, would you grow us into the image of Jesus Christ, that we might be profitable, useful servants of the Lord that bring much glory and honor to the name of our God. Bless your people. Thank you for our church. Thank you for these people who love you. Lord, I pray that you'd use us to bring much glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.